Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the program. You want to send us an email. If you would like to send us an email, I should say, go to comments@afr.net. Just type in comments@afr.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Steve Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, sirs.
And Ray Pritchard is in Kansas City, Kansas. We're in Tupelo for the program per usual today. Walker, you got an announcement?
Yes, sir, I do. Our fall share-a-thon that you hear twice a year, we have a share-a-thon, and our fall and spring. This upcoming fall share-a-thon is in October the 15th, 16th, and 17th. And we're taking listener testimonies. So if you listen to American Family Radio and you've been positively impacted by the ministry of AFR and the radio programs that you hear each day, then we're going to give you a chance to call in and record your listener testimony. What'll happen here is I'll give out the number, and then you'll just call the number, and there'll be an announcer with instructions on how to leave a voicemail, 1 to 2 minutes. Try to keep it under 2 minutes. But you'll leave a voicemail sharing how AFR has impacted your life. The number to call in and leave that voicemail, leave that recording, the listener testimony is 877-876-8893. I'll give it out one more time, and we'll post this on our Facebook page also. 877-876-8893 to call in and share your testimony.
Got a letter from a fellow this morning who listens to AFR in Texas, Ray, and he said, I got saved. He used the expression, I came to Christ in 2017, listened to a program on American Family Radio.
Hey, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get those kinds. People either rededicate their lives or maybe they, you know, turn to Jesus Christ for salvation.
We've heard of marriages that were saved.
Yeah, it's really a blessing. And so if you got a story like that, why not let the rest of the listening family hear it during our share-a-thon, because it encourages people.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. I was listening earlier to you guys talking with Cynthia Perkins about her Stillwater's devotional. It's all on Psalm 23.
Yeah. Right?
And how many devotions? How many? It was like
365.
So I'm feeling challenged. And Ray,
what have you done with your life?
I know. Ray and I haven't asked him yet, but I'm sure he'll say yes. Are going to do a 5-year devotional on the verse Jesus Wept.
Okay,
that's right. And if you take the first 3 years, I'll take the last two.
I just feel challenged. I got to do
that. That would definitely be a challenge right there. You're going to take that. One Bible verse. She took a chapter.
Feel like it needs to be done. I'll go back to President Trump's speech a little bit here this morning. I listened to the whole thing. It was remarkable.
Really?
I thought it was one of his best speeches ever, and I know you guys played a little
bit. We didn't get to hear much of it, just about, you know, a couple minutes
there.
Well,
can I play another clip or two for you? Because I thought this was good. I guess the theme of his speech would be nationalism versus globalism. That's kind of where he went. And cut 16 is kind of the thesis statement.
The truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
That was kind of what he did. He tore into China and Iran, but I think it's one of his hallmark speeches. This was also interesting. You know how we don't have press gaggles anymore? We don't have the press briefings every day at the White House. He'll stop by on his way out to the helicopter, talk to the press. He did that on the way into the UN with international reporters. I think they were stunned. I want to play you a little bit of what he said, and this kind of talks to the goings on with the Biden thing too. He addressed that. This is cut 12.
Go ahead.
Mr. President, Congress is moving towards impeachment, including Nancy Pelosi. Could be as a result of the Ukraine call. How do you feel about that?
I think it's ridiculous. It's a witch hunt. I'm leading in the polls. They have no idea how they stop me. The only way they can try is through impeachment. This has never happened to a president before. There's never been a thing like this before. It's nonsense. And when you see the call, when you see the readout of the call, which I assume you'll see at some point, you'll understand. That call was perfect. It couldn't have been nicer. And even the Ukrainian government put out a statement that that was a perfect call. There was no pressure put on them whatsoever. But there was pressure put on with respect to Joe Biden. What Joe Biden did for his son, that's something they should be looking at.
Ray, don't you think it's a shame that we have such a shrinking violet as a president?
Yeah, Mr. President, tell us what you... I love it. He said, not just it was a phone call, not just it went well. It was a perfect phone call.
Sure was.
Right?
I love that. That's great. Yeah. A perfect phone call.
So he put it on Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden.
Yeah, he did.
There, he did.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
I tell you what, the you know what? We've seen this movie before, hadn't we? Where the news media, many in the news media, who have Trump derangement syndrome themselves, they hate President Trump, so they want so badly for something, some kind of scandal to be true, so they report it and get out ahead of themselves before having the facts to back them up.
Yeah.
And it looks like they've done it again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's looking like this is going to backfire because the White House, even though it doesn't have to, it's probably going to release the transcript of the call or the readout. And
wow.
The media hyped this up as some big scandal, and it's turning out that it's probably not going to be that.
Well, Joe Behar, you know, that great journalist on The View.
I thought she was a theologian.
That too. She is just... She expressed it best, and I mentioned this before, when she said, we hate President, I'm paraphrasing now, basically, we hate President Trump so much that we want these stories to be true, so that's why we report them so quickly, and hoping that she was referring to, I think, the young man in the Trump Make America Great hat on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial.
Nick Sandman.
Yes, when Native American man walked up, started banging his drum in the young man's face.
Right, mm-hmm.
And then the picture was taken, and it was here's this white privileged teenager smirking at a poor Indian man who probably traveled thousands of miles to be there to bang his drum on the Lincoln Memorial steps.
Yeah,
and as it turned out, this was a professional protester. This Indian man, Native American man, who these teenagers were waiting on their bus to get there, and now we know that the Native American man went out of his way to walk up to Nick and put his drum in his face and started banging it.
Yes. It was a photo op.
Yeah. My wife, Allison, said, and she's not a violent person, but she said, he better be glad he didn't come bang his drum in my face.
Oh yeah,
it'd have been a white
big mistake.
It'd have been a woman with white privilege taking him down.
Huh? It's interesting. Sandman's lawyers have been very active since this. They've sued the Washington Post. I think they sued the New York Times for millions of dollars of defamation.
I think they lost that, didn't they?
They've lost those. The latest suit, I think, is against comedian Kathy Griffin, who even after the truth was known, still came after. Nick Sandman. It just is not going well. He's being vindicated, and I don't know if he'll get any of his defamation cases, but yeah.
Go ahead.
Yesterday, you may remember, was the Day of Climate Action for Kids. Thousands and thousands of kids across the world, probably millions of kids, decided to skip school. They went out into the highways and byways and protested about the danger of the climate crisis.
Yeah.
I want you to hear a montage of a little bit of how that sounded. This is clip 4.
Our oceans are choking with trash, and the sixth mass extinction is well underway.
We do not have time to be
polite. This is a revolution.
It doesn't matter how much we're taxed if we don't have an earth to live on.
We need to do more instead of having a corrupt president who won't acknowledge that the earth is literally dying.
This is environmental racism, and we must acknowledge the issue.
Because every day of inaction drives more.
You know, I'm not for.
Wow.
I'm not. I've never been really for giving kids medication. I think that's probably overused. It
may cause you to rethink that.
Yeah, but right there, I am thinking probably a school nurse needs to intervene. And offer some kind of chill medicine.
Good night.
Where was that?
That was across the country. Just a montage of just the different protests around the world, around the United States. But yes, passionate. Here's what they don't know. A group of 500 scientists and professionals in climate science have officially notified the United Nations that there is no climate crisis, that spending trillions of dollars on a non-problem is cruel and imprudent. And I have the letter in front of me, and it says this is addressed.
500 scientists?
That's what they say.
Wow.
It's a good story.
500 scientists. And this
Where did you get this? Because hey, Brent, can you put this on our Facebook? It is? You are?
Okay. Technocracy News is where I got this particular story.
We're going to put this on our Facebook page so folks can read it for themselves.
And the letter starts, Your Excellencies, talking to the UN climate and Secretary General. There is no climate emergency. A global network of more than 500 knowledgeable and experienced scientists and professionals in climate and related fields have the honor to address Your Excellencies and attach European Climate Declaration. And the attached European Climate Declaration. Hello, I do this for a living. Which the signatories to this letter are national ambassadors. And here's what they say. The general circulation models of climate on which international policy is at present founded are unfit for their purpose. Therefore, it is cruel as well as imprudent to advocate the squandering of trillions on the basis of results from such immature models. Current climate policies pointlessly, grievously undermine the economic system, putting lives at risk in countries denied access to affordable, continuous electrical power.
500, that's significant.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah. Are they saying there's no global climate change? Or are they saying that there's no evidence of man-made global?
I believe one of the paragraphs in here that I read.
They're saying there's no connection, like I said earlier,
right.
between driving
carbon
a big,
emissions and all this.
Yeah, there's no scientific connection between carbon emissions, man-made carbon emissions, and the hurricanes and the climate.
Yeah.
The world has warmed far less than half of the originally predicted rate and at less than half of the rate to be expected on the basis of net anthropogenic, which is man-made, forcing and radiative imbalance. Climate models have many shortcomings and are not remotely plausible as policy tools. CO2 is not a pollutant. It is essential to life on Earth. There is no statistical evidence that global warming is intensifying hurricanes, floods, droughts, and natural disasters. There is no climate emergency.
Okay, so we posted that on our website? I mean, on our Facebook page. So go to Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can find what Steve's quoting from. Let me see that again.
There you go.
It's called a group of 500 esteemed scientists and professionals in climate science. That's not four people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's pretty big deal there. It's a pretty big statement by these folks. Are they international? Are they American or did you do?
I think they're international.
They're international.
It's international.
Yeah.
It's international.
Canada, Italy, France, Australia.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
USA.
Interesting. Next story.
All right. Steve. We have some kind of an alarming statistic. More than 200 incidents of anti-Christian violence have been recorded in India so far this year. It's a rising tide. 218 incidents of anti-Christian violence. Only 25 police reports have been filed, indicating a clear distrust of the police and the judicial process. There is a political party, and I probably will get the name mispronounced, but it's the Bharatiya Janata Party, BJP, And what we're finding is BJP politicians and Hindu nationalist leaders are using religiously divisive rhetoric and kind of instigating this attack on Christians.
Yeah, we talked about this last hour with Ray. because he's traveled extensively in India, and he was saying as much that there are places that are very dangerous for Christians, even they're run by Hindus.
Well, Steve, the interesting part of that is that article says 218 have been reported that they know of,
right,
and only 25 have been reported to the police, just showing how biased the system is over there. They know if they report it, basically the police are going to turn their heads,
right,
and do nothing.
Next time I'll listen to the program a little bit before I bring a story in. But thank you for indulging me. Today at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 o'clock here in Tupelo, 1 in California, Nancy Pelosi will be meeting with House Democrats to talk about if they reach the tipping point on impeachment. They are going to, because of the Ukrainian thing, they say we're a lot more Democrats are now on board with impeachment.
Please.
It occurs to me that we don't know what's going on with any of it, and everything that they brought up so far has come out null and void, and I'm kind of expecting, based on the record for the Ukraine thing, also to come out null and void.
Yeah, you know, it's the Democrats just don't seem to understand history and how this works, and how all of their attacks against President Trump always backfire. The Russia investigation, if you go back to the 90s, the Republicans tried impeachment on Bill Clinton, and it failed miserably. Technically, it passed the House, but never made it through the Senate, and he was reelected.
It hurt the Republicans among the American voters.
Politically speaking, yes. Okay, politically speaking, it backfired, and gave us Bill Clinton's second term. And so
that and Ross Perot.
Well, that too. But Americans don't basically what I'm getting at is
right,
studies show Americans don't like impeachment.
Right.
Because especially when there's no ground for it.
Yeah, and we only got, like I said, 14 months to the next president.
Right.
So
right,
you can impeach him then if you want to. At the ballot box.
That's true.
Saw the latest Rasmussen poll. President Trump was, I think, at a 53% approval rate. I'm going to look up that number. It was over 50%.
Yesterday was 52. So it may have gone up a point.
This 52 or 53 is the highest he's been, right?
Yes. Ever.
In the Rasmussen poll.
And
fantastic.
And higher than President Obama was at this point in his term.
The reason I say that's stunning is given the 24/7 attacks of the liberal news media and the Democrats against the president, and I mean it's relentless, right?
Yeah, and it is 53 today.
The fact that he would be at that high,
and on the same time in Obama's term, Obama was at 44. So
yeah. Really,
yeah.
Yep. Huh?
Wow.
I would never have believed that. Huh? I certainly would never have believed that. All right. President Trump will probably be tweeting about this.
Yes, he will.
Pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
Anyway.
First the perfect phone call and then this.
Right.
But the reason they're meeting about impeachment today is because the Democrats, politically speaking, really do need something.
Yeah.
To go after President Trump on, because they've really exhausted all of their options. The Russia investigation fell apart, and there's not much to do.
The economy's doing pretty good.
Yeah, there's not much to go against President Trump on, so they need another.
Yeah. So what are you gonna run against him on? How many can you get up every day and say racist?
Yeah. Well, they don't have a policy position to beat him on, so they're just gonna run on impeachment.
I want to ask you something.
But don't you think the racist thing, they're going to go with that too?
Well, yeah, that'll always be there.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask Walker, because the last couple of days I've been hearing some Republican pundits saying that Joe Biden's almost out of the race because of his gaffes and his not going to the left with the Democrats. And now this Ukraine thing on his son and everything, it might be the end. Do you think he's going to make it through to the primary?
It depends on if the DNC keeps rigging their primary. because right now they're still rigging it, even though they claim they're not. The way they're rigging it is they're being very selective about who qualifies for a debate on national television. And one of the qualifiers is not how many, some of them are how many donors you have, things like that, which are, those are not subjective. Those are very statistical numbers. But the last qualifier to get on a DNC debate is how you're doing in the polls. And we all know how accurate the polls are,
right?
Tongue-in-cheek there. So the DNC, if they want him to be the nominee, then he'll be the nominee.
Did you see, I don't have it in front of me here, but pardon me, speaking of polls, that President Trump is doing relatively well with the Hispanic community. I mean, I saw that the other
day.
Right. I'm talking about, obviously, people who are of Hispanic background, and they're American citizens.
Sure.
That's
sure.
what I'm talking about, voters.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Democrats, they need 80% of Hispanics to vote for them, like they need 90% of blacks to vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if President Trump's able to get 30% to 65%, I mean, 35% of Hispanics to vote for him, that's not good for Democrats.
I was talking about this with someone, Ray, yesterday, and we noted that Hispanics, largely Catholic, socially conservative.
Right.
And hard workers that believe in the American dream and seem tailored for the Republican message. Why do they vote Democrat as a bloc?
Well, they're from socialist countries historically. but now you're talking about that's a very interesting question. Maybe, but I think that's the reason.
What percentage did Mr. Trump get of the Hispanic vote in 2016?
Can you Google that, Walker?
Yeah.
Google President Trump Hispanic vote 2016 and see what pops up here. I want to say it was 30.
All right. Let's see here. Hispanics, this is 2016. Hispanics favored Democrat candidate Hillary Clinton 65%. To 29%, so 29% went to President Trump.
Yeah, yeah. If he can get 30 this time,
if
35,
he can get 30, he's going to go back into the White House.
Which is up 2% compared to past Republicans.
Which means it's wrong to a lot of people assume because, and I think white people especially assume this. They assume I'm one of them. So that is a white person. But you assume that because somebody is Hispanic, they don't have a problem with illegal immigration because it is fellow Hispanics who are coming here illegally. So they would identify more with their ethnicity than they would with border control. That's the assumption, but that's not true.
I don't think it is because I know a lot. I've heard a lot of Hispanics and a lot of people who talk about Hispanics that came here legally and did the work
right,
to get here,
right,
not
right.
liking that everybody else can jump in front of them.
Yes, yeah. So that's a mischaracterization or a stereotype that's not true. That a lot of people think, well, because you're Hispanic, then you don't have a problem with another person coming here illegally just because they're Hispanic, and that is not the case. A lot of Hispanic Americans who are citizens don't want just open borders either. And by the way, we better hope those gangs never come here in full force. Mm-hmm. I've been reading about what's taking place in Mexico, and that is, whoa. We can talk about that another day. We'll see you next time, folks.